28. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you're here tonight. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Talked about the responsibilities, our divine responsibilities this morning. And I want to thank God. We've been praying for a young man for a long time and got saved today. Amen.
Amen.
And made a wife real happy. Amen. Don't give up, girls. I know some of you, your husband's not saved yet. Don't give up on them. They'll get saved if you keep at it. First of all, if you live right and you keep submitting to them and keep showing that you love Jesus and keep showing that you love them more than anything else in the world, it'll change your heart, change your life. Amen. I'm not surprised at why some people don't get saved. I'm not surprised at that. I'm not surprised when people live such a hellish life and call themselves Christians. And then you want somebody to ask Jesus in their heart. What? So you get the burden off your heart or something? No, you want them to get saved so they glorify the Heavenly Father. Amen. And you say, well, I want to get him saved so he'll treat me better. No, you want to get him saved so he'll love Jesus. Amen. And once he loves Jesus, he'll change his heart and he'll change his life as long as you keep dragging him to church. Amen. And make a reason why I want to drag him to church. Make him the favorite breakfast. Get him all gussied up and, man, just make him want to be here. Amen. And don't talk bad about the preacher. Don't talk bad about the Sunday school teacher. Don't talk bad about the deacons. Just be careful what you say. I know some of us, you could talk about that to us, about us, but be careful, anybody. Well, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. This morning I pulled over and parked there a minute and reminded you, it's pretty hard to tell somebody about the Bible, tell you something about the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ if you haven't read the Bible yourself. Observe all things whatsoever, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So be it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, speak to our hearts now. And Lord God, I pray that we'd give ourselves to you. Lord, we've got some great responsibility. Help us live by that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Everyone has responsibilities. There's not a one of you today that doesn't have a responsibility. You may own a car. You have a responsibility when you own that car. You're a responsibility to keep it up. To make sure the oil's in there and make sure the antifreeze is right and make sure it's oiled and greased. And yeah, that's your responsibility. And once you get this piece of property, you want to be very careful how you handle and take care of it. You turn some guy loose, one guy said, man, drive it like you stole it. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. You may drive it like you stole it and tear it up and rip the tires off it and but the first time you go down to Big O or wherever you get your tires and ask for a price on new tires, you can say, man, I don't know if I'm going to be torching that thing out and spinning Brodies. I don't know if that's a good idea. Next time you pop a clutch or tear the transmission out and you're about $1,500 in the hole, you say, well, maybe that isn't a good idea after a while. Well, see, you got responsibilities. When I was growing up on a farm, I thought it was a great idea to see if I could pop a wheelie with my dad's great big John Deere. Not a good idea. First of all, my dad found out about it. Secondly, the county commissioners didn't appreciate me tearing up the highway. I learned my responsibility the hard way. My dad administered the Board of Education at the seat of learning. Amen. All of us have responsibility. You mamas, you got responsibility to that little rascal that you brought into this world. You have a responsibility to feed them and clothe them, make sure they're warm enough or make sure they're cool enough. You know, you have a responsibility to not leave them in the car just because they've been bad and 110 degree weather and close up the window and say, I told you not to behave. I'm going to teach you something about hell. I'll get that car. Amen. No, that's not a good idea. You have a responsibility to protect them. And then you're going to get a friendly little visit from a friendly little Great Falls PD or Cascade County Sheriff's Office, and they're going to say, you didn't take very good care of your responsibility, did you? And, of course, you will be served, and I hope they do. All of us have responsibilities. When they give you that little card that says driver's license, you have a responsibility. It is not a right. It's an opportunity. Amen. And sometimes they actually can be taken away from you. Surprise, surprise. Amen. And don't say you know the chaplain. Because they say if you know the chaplain, you should have known better. Amen. I gave him a card the other day. And he says, this is get out of jail free. I said, just kidding. He said, no, I want that. Get out of jail free. I said, well, I'll tell you what they're going to tell you. We all have responsibilities. You have a responsibility to make sure that your refrigerator is plugged in and your freezer is plugged in and your responsibility to mow your lawns and your responsibility to feed your family, your responsibility on and on. There's responsibility committed. But God gives us a divine responsibility. We find that divine responsibility in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We are coming up to one of the greatest times at Heritage Baptist Church. It's our mission conference. You may not think it's important for you, but I'm going to tell you something. If somebody didn't come and tell you about Jesus Christ, you'd burn in hell forever. Someone had to take someone, and I'm going to go in that today, tonight. I hope you understand what missions are true. You have a divine responsibility. When you got saved, you went from death unto life. You went from the mission field to the missionary. And for the rest of your life, as long as you breathe this God-given air He gives you to breathe, you are to keep gathering grain for our Master. According to the Word of God, we, my friends, have become ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of the kingdom. Yes, live missionary. That's what you are. You are a missionary. You have a mission. It's not just people that are going to come this Thursday and Friday flying in from all over the country, all over the world, and coming and telling you all these exotic stories about the stuff that they ate and stuff that they see people eating and the snakes that they see and the gorillas and the monkeys and the giraffes and all. That's not missions. I left Elkton, South Dakota to come out and do a mission here, get a church started 32 years ago. I'm a missionary. I may not speak another language, though I can speak a few. I may not speak another language to the people I'm speaking to, but sometimes it seems like I am speaking a foreign language to some people that call themselves Christians. And they look at me like, duh, I don't understand what you know what I'm talking about. I'll straighten it up, amen. According to the Word of God, we, my friends, have become the ambassador of the kingdom. Yes, live missionaries. Once we learn what the New Testament missions are, we cannot go back to our ignorance and our apathy once we possessed. Now, I want you to, first of all, look at your personal responsibility. 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this blood, sweat, tear, and earth, He came to give us His life so that we would not have to pay the price of our sins and suffer eternity in hell. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. And let me remind you that hell was not intended for mankind. It was created for the devil and his angels to punish their rebellion. And while Jesus Christ was here on earth, He called 12 disciples to go to work for the kingdom and therefore sent them forth and said to them, go into all the world and preach all creatures. Then at Pentecost, He commissioned all believers, not just the 12, but He said, I want you all of them, go. And He proclaimed the gospel to Israel. But the religious leaders of that day of Israel, which he had made the covenant with first with Abraham, thousands of years ago, which he had come to the earth to redeem, could not hear the gospel. They would not hear the good news of salvation. And religious leaders were unwilling to accept him as their Messiah. And what did they do? They put him to death. Well, that's a good way to stop things, amen? And we read the biblical account that week later, these religious leaders would not even accept the responsibility of the murderous plot of killing the Savior. And when they accused the apostle, listen to what they said in Acts chapter 5, verse 28, how quickly they forget. Boy, it sounds like what we're hearing on TV today of our politicians. You know, one day they say one thing, and next day they say another, and next day they forgot what they said, and then they'll say, well, it's been 2 years ago, I can't remember. Well, let me tell you what it hadn't changed a bit. Come on, folks. Acts chapter 5, verse 28b, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. That's what they said. And what did they say to Pilate? Let his blood be upon us and our children and our children's children. A week later, they said, hey, it's not us. By the way, can I just pull on part a minute? Do you remember how long Easter was? Easter morning? 2 weeks ago? I thought of this morning. Poor old Thomas. Until tonight, from Easter until tonight, he didn't know that Jesus Christ truly raised from the grave. That's a long time, isn't it? That's why you always want to come to church on Sunday night, amen. He missed the first. Missed the second. Finally comes. Here he is. So God, in turn, commissioned all the believers to be sent out soul winning. They are to be born-again believers, truth proclaimers, preachers, evangelists, missionaries to the Gentile nation. That's you and me. Doing what? The amazing thing transpired. God saved a Jew, the Jew of all the Jews named Saul. And Christ met him on the road to Damascus, and wonderfully saved Saul, whose later name was Paul. Then some years later, after much preparation, I want you to get that, after much preparation. When a man gets saved, you don't go out and preach the first day. Now, you'd be a soul winner. You can be the soul winner the first day. But if you're going into ministry, it takes some preparation. I was listening to a guy the other day, and I said, man, he is so screwed up doctrinally, he don't even know what ended up. He don't know the inside of the Bible, the outside of the Bible. He was telling about this thing that, boy, and I could tell he had never studied the Bible. If he read the Bible, the Bible's very common. Bible is very easy to understand in many, many areas. There's a few places that are pretty tough. A few pieces that you'll never understand. But for the most part, that Bible is pretty well understood. Just like when your mama said, now, son, did you do that? And you say, well, I don't know. Yes, you do know. Was it Thomas Jefferson said, it's not the things of the Bible I don't understand, it's the things of the Bible I do understand. Let me pull you over in part for a minute and talk about a little plain logic that the Word of God teaches us after reading the account of these Christians. If Jesus Christ sent his disciples to the Jews, and the Jews sent the gospel to the Gentiles, and when the Gentiles received the gospel, they spread all over Europe, and when the Europeans got the gospel, they sent it to the Americas. And when they got it, the Americans sent the gospel to the islands in the Asia and South America. Don't you think it is our responsibility that we have a divine responsibility to further the cause of Jesus Christ? Don't think it's yours? Hey, someone cared for you. Someone came and told you about Jesus Christ. How many of you got saved here in Great Falls, Montana, here at our church? Everybody got saved. Look. You know what? If I wouldn't have came, where have you been saved? I think of an atheist woman. Atheist woman came to our church because someone, her mother-in-law invited her daughter to this church, Vacation Bible School. To her, religion was a farce. To her, religion was a crutch. To her, religion was nothing. It was a myth. Until she came here to this church. And Mrs. Hobbs walked the aisle. I still remember, she's on this side, walked down, got saved, amen. And she said that everyone thought, I said, preacher, if you want to come to Great Falls, Montana, I probably not got saved. Someone had, hey, you know what? I moved 32 years ago, 1,000 miles where I was pastoring. Things were going good, had a good church, had a good bunch of people, just things were good. Bills were all paid. I moved out of here. Why? It's called God. Someone says, hey, come on over and help us. Come on over and help us. And I did. I'm glad I did. But still, someone had to go. You know why? I grew up in Hope, Michigan. And an old preacher, came from down south, moved up into Michigan, and started to pastor the Hope Baptist Church. His name was Dwayne Lindsay. Dwayne Lindsay is about 6'5", tall man, worked in the auto plants, great big old guy. And man, God taught, got him saved, and he quit his good paying job at General Motors. And came up the Hope Baptist Church. They about starved him to death. But he was bound and determined that this is what God wanted him to do, and he stayed. Thank God he stayed. Thank God he stayed. Someone paid the price for you. Someone paid the price for you. He said, well, I got saved with my mama or my daddy. Well, somebody paid the price so your mommy and daddy got saved, or your grandpa and grandpa got saved. Someone paid the price for you. Don't you think it's a good idea you pay the price? Don't you think you ought to care for somebody's soul? We as believers are commanded to send forth the gospel. That's why I'm so excited about this weekend. I'm telling you, we got missionaries coming in. I mean, they have seen thousands of people saved. They've seen God's work go on. They've seen churches started because they gave their life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone was sent to you. Someone had to pay the price. Someone taught the scriptures that the believers would be honest. Someone taught the scriptures that said, you must be saved. And you accepted it. Someone had to do it. Now, I think if you're a Christian today, you ought to pay your debts. How many believe that? How many believe you ought to pay your debts? I had a cousin, he was a doctor. And the IRS got a hold of him and wanted to ruin him. And he had to go had to go bankrupt. He lost a twin engine plane, he lost everything. And when he went to court, the court says, and he filed for bankruptcy because he couldn't do any more. After that court, he went out to everybody he owed, and he said, I will tell you this, I'm an honest man, and I'm a Christian, and I will pay you back. I'm not just going to leave it alone, I'm going to pay you back for that. That's what Christians are about, amen? You pay your bills, and you pay them on time. And if you make a mistake, you go and you see, hey, I can't do this today. Boy, I tell you what, we moved here to Great Falls, Montana. Money was not, money was an issue. It was not on trees, I found out, amen. And I went over to Trader State and I told Brother Talmage, I said, Brother Talmage, I don't know if I can be able to pay you all of it, but I'll pay you some, but I'll promise you I'll pay it. And he said, that's okay, Brother Shearer, I trust you. I said, I appreciate that. Thank God, 2 days later, somehow, some way, I got the money, I went over and paid it. I knew you'd pay it. Pay your bills! Hey, we ran Heritage Baptist Church. We still have people who never paid their bills. What's with that? And they're usually ones that, I'm not going to go there. All right, but anyway. We pay our bills. We pay our way. We pay our share. We are honest with the people that we deal with. And of course, You pay your bills. Amen? You pay your bills. And you see, when a man gets saved, he becomes a debtor. Someone brought the gospel to you. Someone had to pay to go to college. Someone had to pay to go to seminary. Someone had to pay to go away and leave their parents. And, you know, they move away a couple thousand miles from. You know, I hear you guys in the military say, yeah, we're going to move back home. Boy, we miss it home and everything. What about the preacher? Well, the preacher lives 2,000 miles away from home. Don't you think he likes to go home to dad and mom? Don't you think he likes going back to brothers and sisters? When I came to Heritage Baptist Church, I heard this. There's a military guy who said, hey, you know what? We'll move all the time, but you can't never move. You need to give us stability. Don't you dare leave. So he told me. He said, because you'll come to the church and you'll move off, and these people in the military, they have no stability. I'm going like, hey, what wagon do you fall off and bump your head on? The rock. Why can't I move? I put my pants on the same way you do. Right leg first, left leg second. Amen. I tried it one time, jumping in both of them, but it didn't work. Ripped them right out of my half, amen. But you know, hey, someone, you say, what are you trying to tell? I'm just trying to, you owe a debt. You owe a debt to God Almighty for saving your sins and giving you life everlasting. And God has called men of God to come and minister to you and to pastor you so that you can know this Word of God and that you can be furnished the Word of God, and that so you can go on and on and on serving God. You're going to move? I think we're about 5,000 now. People used to come to this church and moved out. I've been here 32 years. I've seen a lot of people's faces. People look at me and say, why don't you know my name? And I'm going like, my hard drive is full. Sorry. I'm trying. I carry with me a list of all the families in our church and visitors. I carry this and I look at it and I pray for you. And funny thing, sometimes I'll see a name and I say, who is that? Maybe I made a typo on it. No, I guess they haven't been around very long. And then I remember they moved off. Amen. Like Josh Haynes. Take that beautiful wife and kids away from me. Amen. But that's okay. You're doing what God wants you to do. I don't want you to stay here if you're not supposed to be here. But woe be the person who leaves this place. And they're not supposed to leave. I'll guarantee you pay for it. I was a little schoolboy. And we like to play tag. And the object of the game is not getting touched, because then you became it. And it's like having the cooties, amen. You don't want to get touched, amen. And I remember there's a bunch of kids I grew up with. They live in a small little dumpy house on Stark Road. They were very poor. I mean, they were poor. They were so poor, they were poor, amen. And but I loved being around them because they had a lot of boys. And I didn't have a brother, so they became my brothers at school, amen. And their boys' names were Dice Boys, the Dice Boys. Roger and Doug and Barry, and they were about my age. But you know what? Those boys could run like grease lightning. I mean, they were so fast. You couldn't ever, man, they'd come around and tap you and you were it, and boogity, boogity, they were gone. And boy, I tell you what, I always thought they were as fast as mongooses, amen. Now, I mean, just, boy, they'd come up and nip you and they're gone, amen. Well, they were skinny and they were short and they were fast. And they could turn on a dime. I mean, they're wiry little coyotes, amen. And I learned how to run. I learned how to fake, and I learned how to grab them, you know. And I always thought, sometime I've been playing football in college and fullback, I always thought after a good run, I'd think, them old Dice Boys, they're the ones that taught me how to run, amen. Well, Christians, I want you to know that all of us are it. God has tapped us and said, you're it. The Lord Jesus Christ is no longer on this earth. And He's tapped us, we're it. He calls us to run a race. He calls us to do, and listen to me tell you, to finish the job. There are so many people today that are quitting and giving up, and they don't want anything to do with it. And they say that, you know, living a Christian life is too hard. I'm going to tell you something. I'd like you to go with me about a couple days, and I'll show you some people that aren't Christian. I'll show you some people, their life, what their life is. It is not easy. I can lay my head on the pillow tonight, and I can say, dear God, I've tried my best. And I'm tired, but I want you to know, I know you love me, and you protected me today. Where do those people go? Where are those people? You guys see them at work. All they can think about is their beer. Boy, I can't wait. Boy, one more hour, I'm going to go to the bar. One more hour, I'm going to get me a bottle of beer. One more, I'm going to get me a six-pack. Boy, one more. They can't wait. How many met guys like that? That's all they live for. That's all they live for. And then they can't understand why they get DUIs. They can't understand why their kids are getting MIPs and... Can't figure it out. And then they get sick and hug a toilet, lay their head on it, where human feces been on. I don't know about you, but that's not what I call fun. You're it as a Christian. And you have a God in heaven that loves you. And He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to supply your needs. He said, boy, God's not doing a very good job. You ungrateful thing. Every day you wake up. You wake up. Every day you breathe His air. And you drink His water. Every day you use those muscles that God gave you. What are you ungrateful thing? And you're saying, God didn't take care of you? Give me a break. Look at those eyes. You can be reading something like that and all of a sudden look out there from a foot to infinity and your eyes changed and there it is. An incredible thing. Some of you people are blessed by good ears. You can hear things going on. You got taste. That don't taste good. That tastes good, you know. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad you have thumbs? Hey, you knuckle busters. How many of you guys like not have a thumb? That's kind of hard to put a skewer or a bowl in. That old thumb, man. Some of you, hey, I used to use my thumb a lot, like this. How'd you like you didn't have a thumb? You go like this. Oh, boy. We're debtors. Someone was willing to run the race to go the distance. And you and I need to realize that we have a debt, too. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the city of Jerusalem was having a great drought. And Barnabas and Paul were sent by the church of Antioch to go down and send money to them and help them out. Why? They were in debtors. Where did the church start? Jerusalem. And you remember the great anarchy that happened and how that they came in and destroyed the Jews and they ran all over the country. But the church was still there. And the church at Antioch heard that the church at Jerusalem people were needing help. Why did they do that? They owed a debt. I meet so many people today that have, they just forget their moms, forget their dads, all the mom and dad did for them. Mom and dad are having a hard time. You know what? Mom and dad do get old. And they are needed. They need some help. Hey, send them off to the rest home and then hear them say, yeah, I can't wait my old man died. Hey, did you hear about the little boy? He said, Grandpa, I want to hear you. I want to hear you sound like a frog. He said, what do you want to hear like sound like a frog? He said, well, Mom and Dad said, when you croak, we're going to Disney World. No, that isn't funny, is it? My grandkids say, hey, Papa, when you die, can I have that gun? And I'd say, shut up, boy, you're bothering me, amen. Hey, don't forget this vital fact. The first church that ever was established was at Jerusalem. When it started, many were saved. Persecution came, and the church scattered like seeds, and the seeds of the gospel spread all over the Roman government. And they said about Paul, he said, you have turned the world upside down with this. When the great famine came in the area of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem, the church of Jerusalem, desperate need, the new churches in the area, guess what they did? They started bringing back, to Jerusalem to rescue them, to send them money. The scripture teaches us the church at Philippi sent time and again to the Christians at Jerusalem. Let me remind you, that minister, that preacher, that believer that risked their life to give you a personal dream, that they risked their life and gave up their personal dreams for what they could have done to bring to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about men that are going to come to this church on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They have given up their dreams. Charlie Best, one of the most prolific realtors in the Chicagoland area. He just walked away from it and said, I'm going to be a missionary. God's called me. Steve Heinrich had a great job. Men after men have given their life to serve the Lord. Hey, have you ever been to Nepal? You ever been where the family was for 13 years? You couldn't wear your shoes in the house because they're filled with animal and human feces? I'm sorry, it's a filthy country. Every time you turn around, somebody's getting sick. The Hindus and the what are the other ones? The Buddhists, they're not clean people. Pollution, you name it. Why? They're paying back their debt. Pay back their debt. Debt to who? Debt to the Lord Jesus Christ. Debt to the people that also went. Amen. I think of the missionaries that were over there that they came for. Flying on an airplane. Somehow the pilots got confused and flew that big old jet into the mountain and killed the missionary and his wife and his children. They're at college and they said, that's where we need to go. Say, you feel bad for him? No, I don't feel bad for him. I don't feel a bit bad for him. Because heaven is going to be a beautiful place for him. I remember Sheldon, he was born. Was he born over there? And he had all kinds of junk going on him. It takes 41 hours to get over there. That's a long way to get there. Get on an airplane, it takes you to about 41 to 44 hours to get there. That's a long time. Some of you guys can't even work that long a week, 40 hours. I don't feel bad for them. They're just paying their debt. You know, some of us ought to understand that if we can't pay our debt and we do not have the ambition or we do not have the opportunity, or we, God has not called us that, at least we ought to be able to pay a debt some other way. There's soul winning here at Heritage in Great Falls. There's bus ministry. There's also mission offering. And say, hey, I can't go. I may not have the whereabouts to go, but I do know somebody who can go or is gone or are there, and I just want to help out. Can I pay my debt? Yeah, I can pay my debt. Man, it's getting hot in here, and I still got a little bit to go. You better turn that thing on. How can I pay the debt? How do I pay my debt? Every month, my wife and I mean, every week, my wife and I, we put in an offering, a certain amount every week for missions. You'd be surprised how you're, don't turn them on. Well, then we'll really be in trouble. You see that flag? She's getting it right now. It's starting to get light, isn't it, sister? Amen. And pretty soon it's going to come here. See that flag? And then pretty soon that little flag, Josh, you're going to be happy. And then all right, it's going to get that. And then when that flag, then we got Sherry that's going to get mad. And she's going to put her Eskimo coat on again, anyway. These missionaries have a burden. You know what? I don't want to be a second-class citizen. I want to have a burden, too. I desire that God would send me. I desire that I would have some way, somehow, that I can pay back. These guys had a burning desire to spread the truth. They did not come for a monetary gain. Hey, if you're going to the minister to get paid, I heard old preacher once say, he said, man, this depression is getting so bad, this recession, I'm going to have to go back to the ministry. At least they feed you there, amen. Well, that's what you're getting into. You just got in the wrong business. Why don't you get a real job? Get a real job. These people came as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Many missionaries in years gone by left their homes and their countries, left their wives. Never seen them again. Some took their wives, and their wives died, and their babies died. I was reading about a missionary over in the islands. He buried his first wife and buried his children. Then he got married again. I don't know if I was a girl, I'd marry that dude, but anyway. He buried her. Buried some kids. Married another, buried her. What? For the cause of Jesus Christ. For the cause of Jesus Christ. Where are the visionaries today? Where are the young men that say, hey, you know what? I want to strap that on. I want to do that. Where are you? There are plenty of places to go. They've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a message. You don't even call over. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. And we want to play our basketball. We want to play our football. We want to play our soccer. And boy, these are the most important things of our lives. Hey, you got a debt. You have a royal commission from God who says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's your commission. It's a divine responsibility. There's a lot of people that slither out of this thing. A lot of people that say, well, I don't know. I remember a guy in our church. Boy, he's a great guy. I love the Lord. His children quote so many scripture. They could sing all kinds of songs. And all of a sudden, he got a little financially in trouble. And he joined back to the airport. He was getting out. He told me, God has called me to get out. And God has called me to be a preacher, a missionary. Today, that man's a drunk. He has a couple of children that are not natural in their lifestyle. They're sodomists. Him and his wife are separated. Let me tell you something. Don't slither away from your responsibility. Be willing to stand up and say, hey, that's what I'm going. Hey, I have found out something in the ministry. Anytime God calls you, He always provides for you. He always provides for you. He will not just let you go. He'll provide for it. If you're going to do something good for Him and going to do something great for Him and pray for Him, I guarantee you, He will help you. Oh, you say, but preacher, there's so many things you're going to have to do. Yeah, that toughens you up. Well, I was playing football in college. Man, oh man, you come in there and you're just fresh meat to these guys. I was a offensive ball handler. I was a fullback. And they just want to cream you. But the coaches, for 3 weeks before anything started, they ran us to death. Boy, I remember the first time I got out of practice. I was so stinking sore I couldn't hardly move. And I had the wonderful opportunity to have a third-story dormitory room. All the seniors and the juniors, they're down on the bottom. I had a third story. I was a freshman. I got to the first step, and I said, Steph, that's going to hurt. And I just kind of bent over like this. Some of you guys remember that when you guys were in the military, amen? When you're going to do PPE, amen? And I was just like this. And I said, this is going to hurt. But I found out something. If you run and don't stop and growl all the way, I'd run all the way to the top and fall in a fetal position and lay there. Hopefully someone would come and straighten me out to get up in the morning. I'd get up in the morning. My fingers didn't even want to move. That was the first week. Second week, not too bad. Didn't have to cry and yell going up the stairs. At the end of the third week, you'd see a brick wall there. You'd run into it just for fun. Yes, I did wear a helmet. The problems and the heartaches that you're going through right now, God's teaching you and toughening you up. God doesn't need any panty-waist Christian to whine and gripe when the first problem comes and hurts you. And by the way, it will come and it will hurt you. This is not a sissy job. People talk about you, they talk about your wife, they talk about your children, they talk everything about you. They know better how to raise your kids. They know how better to do this, know better to do that. They just know it all. Someone help her, please. Just help her. Send her back with Pam. I just want you to know that serving God is a wonderful thing. I used to go to, when I was in college, they used to bring preachers in and preach to us. And man, they'd preach you like, this is the worst thing that ever happened to you going to ministry. I'm going like, hey, that don't sound right. Oh, you'll be broke. They won't help you. You know what? If you want to have that attitude, you can have that attitude. But I'm going to have that attitude. I started a church in Delvin, Minnesota. My wife needed some money. Women always need money, you know. Is that right, amen? They need to go shopping. And I went out and got a job. And I found out that job didn't pay enough, so I got another job. And I found out that job didn't pay enough, so I got another job. I worked in 3 jobs plus pastor of church. Plus I was a assistant fire chief of the fire department. And then I became the president of the Firefighter Association, over 200 men in Bluer County. And I found out something. The busier, the harder you work, the more fun it is. I see guys just sitting around. I see guys in their ministry. They sit up in their office and study their sermon. Hey, go on out and get some illustrations, amen. And God will give them to you. Many of these men learned the language. How long were you in the how long you school, James? How many years? How many? 10 years of language school. When I was graduating a couple of years ago, I wrote it down. I can't remember. You can't even remember what it was about being faithful. About a soldier. I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. And I mean, I worked, and graduation night I blew it, but they appreciated me trying anyway. That's a hard language. I know, Sherry, how many years are you in it? 4 years. Huh?
That was our visa.
Yeah, that's how you get your visa. That's how you get to stay in the country. They had to learn language. They spent years to translate the scriptures so that the national would have a copy of the Word of God in his own native dialect and tongue. They lived in different cultures. They eat different food that were unfamiliar to them. They lived in huts. I listened to a missionary the other day, and they said that they came to a country and in Africa. And in Africa, they had a little bit of money, and this missionary and his wife got a nice place to stay. Well, the people came to the tribal king and said, "You know what? That American is living better than you, king." And so the king said, "I'll take care of that." And he made a law that you could not live close to the town if you were a foreigner. And that you had to live in a hut. Yeah. And in the letter, the missionary says, "Well, we kind of laughed about it because we had good breeze." Amen. Somebody paid the price. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to go? I'm talking to you, kids. I'm talking to you, teenagers. Are you willing to go? Are you willing? And if you're willing to go, God calls you to study, and God calls you to prepare. You guys in the military, they don't just tell you, "Hey, jump in that jet and take off with it." Hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of schooling before you even sit in a seat of one of those things. I hope that you got a lot of hours and you're going to do a little brain surgery on me. Hey, Bethany, aren't you glad that guy that did that surgery on the other day knew what he was doing? I'm glad he went to school. Yeah. I'm glad Amy had to go to school and become an RN, because now all the information she's gained, now she can help others. I look at Brother Furr, Chief Furr, holy cow, all the things he's done and all the things he had to do. They read them the other day. I thought, we're going to be there for a long time. You know, I think of all of you guys and all of you girls, things that you've learned. There comes a time in our life that we have to pay back. This life is not free. People are dying and going to hell. I think of people in Barbados I've ministered. I think of Dominican Republic. I was reading a note that I wrote about this Haitian down in Dominican Republic. We came around the corner. We were way up in the mountains, and they're doing coffee up there, and he cut his hand right here. You can see the bone. He cut it with his machete. Hours and hours away from hospital. I don't know if you want to go to a Dominican Republic hospital. And Brother Caleb said, "Hey, Sheriff, you're an EMT, EMS. Fix him." All the guy had. I just happened to have my pack with me. And I cleaned that gruesome sore. And I just happened to have some Steri-Strip. Some of you people know what those are. And I put that, I wish I had some, what's that stuff, that Loctite, or not Loctite, but what do they call that? It's really good glue. Just get it on your fingers, you can't get it off. I had a friend of mine that took his roommate and put it on his finger like this. But anyway, I put that thing back, and then I began to talk to him. Well, he looked at me like, he speaks Creole. He doesn't speak Spanish, just Creole. Creole's this French, Spanish, it's wild stuff. And I said, "Anybody can speak Creole?" And this Spanish guy, Somebody said that to a Spanish guy. I said, see? I said, I had an American speaking Spanish. I had a Spanish man speaking Creole. And then the Creole guy speaking back Creole. And the Creole guy speaking Spanish and the Spanish Creole. Anyway, I had the privilege to lead that man to the Lord. Just pay him back. Now you need to pay back. You're not going to heaven because of what you did. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save what was lost. We have a personal responsibility. Don't you think that it's about time we pay our due to the world? During the 16th, 17th, 18th century, England sent to America some of the finest preachers, some of the finest evangelists, some of the finest missionaries. Why? Because they felt that they owed the debt, and they knew it was a divine responsibility. They realized that Jesus Christ cared for other people's souls also. Did not Christ say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? Therefore, it is our responsibility to reproduce Christianity in all the world. Let me challenge us today at Heritage Baptist Church to be like Britain, who was so proud of herself when she boasted, the sun never sat on the Union Jack. All across the world, someplace, somewhere, there was a Union Jack, the Great Britain flag, flying where the sun was up. May I challenge us as a church that we feel our responsibility, grave responsibility, to pay our debt. Let's plan to go. Either we go or make it possible for somebody else to go. Job has to be done. After I bandaged up that Haitian, I went all the way. I began to cry. I said to Brother Caleb, I said, how can I go home? For there's so many needy people here. And again, in 1999, I was traveling with Brother Caleb to the Philippines for the first time. After seeing thousands saved, I mean literally thousands saved, I told my friend Doug, I says, I don't want to go home. But God put this burden on my heart. After we came home there, many of us went to pastor school. Some of you probably were this, there were. Brother Gibbs preached about the world is my mission. And Thursday night, I walked forward. My children are grown. And I said, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to go. I go anywhere you want me to go. I'll say anything you want me to say. And God seemed to speak to me. He said, son, I know you've always been willing. And you could go and probably start a couple churches. But what if you stayed at Heritage Baptist Church and sent out 30 or 40 missionaries or 50 missionaries? Think what they could do. And I said, okay. I came back. I thought the people would be rejoicing. And all crying, our pastor's leaving us. I said, whoa, whoa. We had 46 people down in Hammond that year. I said, no. I said, all right, meet at the Streeters tonight after the service. And I sat and I told them, I said, the problem is what God has done for me is that I'm staying. But some of you are going. To fulfill my desire to serve God. It is an honor to be called by God to represent His church. It's an honor. I see the honor that the military gives to their people, and it's deserved. But I see missionaries come back after years of service, and their health is crushed. Their finances are disarray, and they have gone and did their thing for God. I think it's no more right than we as Christians to make sure that we keep our ears and eyes open to those who are in need. Amen? I cannot leave and go anyplace. I find it hard to just go for a few days because I can't. But there are some of you that could. Some of you could go to school and become medical doctors. Some of you could be builders. Some of you ought to just say, you know, God, I'd like to pay my way. I'd like to go to a mission field. And I remember Frankie Stubblefield became friends of Doug Kalep. And Frankie says, I'm a carpenter. What do you think I could do, Doug? And Doug said, I'll use you. And Frankie went with us the first time to the Philippines when we had the big mission conference over there. And for the first time, I think in 20 years, Steve Heidenreich's wife had a toilet that she didn't have to carry the water to flush it. And she had water in the kitchen sink that she never had for 20 years in the jungle. I never seen anything like, old Frankie went up. Hope I'm not boring you. Old Frankie went up to the local hardware store, the Big R of Philippines, all right? And he said, I need some stuff. And the guy said, how much you need? And he said, oh, Judge Joe, you have credit. And he said, when you get all done, then you come pay your bill. And old Frankie goes like, hey, oh my goodness, the stuff that we bought and things we brought into that house. And you ask Steve about it. Hey, girls, how'd you like to carry a big old bucket of water and you have to go out for 20 years and carry a bucket of water to flush the human waste down the toilet? Oh, I forgot to tell you, when they first got there, they didn't have a toilet. Some of you complain that the toilet tissue is not going the right way. Well, at least you got a place to hold it. Every person in this room needs to take a missionary trip. You need to go and see what it really like. And see the cockroaches and the geckos and the lice and the filth. You say, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not. You can wash your hands. You can wash your hands, can't you? Hey, you get sick, you can wipe your face, go on. You just find out you don't eat there anymore. There's certain things that there's a missionary family that had from the States. They got crackling oats. You all know what crackling oats are? I think they're called crackling oats. Huh? Yeah. Cracking the oat bran. And they were so excited. The kids saved it until Christmas. They opened it up, and it's crawling. Sister, you know what I'm talking about, them little stinking ants. I'm going to tell you what some teenage kids did that day. They got their milk out, powdered milk, stirred up with water, poured out those crackling oat brands, skimmed off the ants, and ate the cereal. Some of you snotty-nosed kids, you just go crazy. And they just say, hey, preacher, that's okay. They don't eat very much. Hey, tell me what kind of kid you want to be around. You want to be around those kind of kids, those little snotty-nosed kids that,
oh, that's dirty.
Let me tell you something. That's a good place to raise kids. Brother Caleb and I and Brother Kevin Walker were sleeping in a room. Well, they call it the meat room. Brother Heinrich had put a great big air conditioner in this small room. And Brother Caleb, he's always hot. He cranked that thing on. I mean to tell you, when you open the door, I'm not kidding you, it just... what do you call it? Vapor. You know, like it, when you're outside and it's cold and you go, well, when you open that door, it is vapor. One night we're sleeping in there. It's dark. No lights. Y'all know what no lights mean? They get electricity for 14 hours and most of that time during the day. At night they go off. And there's rats running across in the rafters. You can hear them running back and forth. And you have to hear these great big fruit bats. They are huge. I mean, they look like turkeys. And they're eating fruit and bang, 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 dropping off these metal buildings. These metal roof. And all of a sudden, I felt something on my leg. And I went, hey! And I kicked it. And I heard it go against the wall. I reached over to get my flashlight. I always keep my flashlight to my right. I reached over and I grabbed that and it went, ah! Like a little girl. I grabbed the old Brother Walker's big toe. He's screaming and yelling, let me go, let me go. Then I realized that wasn't my flashlight. He said, man, what you doing? I told him, man, something hit me in the leg and I kicked it and I heard it hit. So I got my flashlight. Here's a cockroach bigger than my thumb. I ain't never seen nothing like that. I think you could hook it up to your Ford and pull it. That ain't the end of the story. Next morning, 5 o'clock, getting up, I saw this big black line that somebody painted on the wall, and then it went out underneath the door. Then I realized with my great intelligent computer like mind, that line is moving. There were those stinging little ants. And they were carrying that great big old cockroach. Da 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 da. He said, boy, I'll never go there. Why? What's going to hurt you? It ain't the snakes that get you in a mission field, it's a car wreck that kill you. That's a proven fact. I'm just telling you, if you want to do something great, next time you want to take a vacation, go on a mission trip. See what these people live like. You'll never enjoy kids so much in your whole life. I'd sit out with the Grennans and those little guys that teach me Spanish. Man, I was getting it down. I was there for about 3 weeks. Man, that's a good time, brother. They said, can't basic tweet up. I said, what? It's a bicycle. What's wrong with you? Man, they just shamed me, you know. I thought you went to college, they'd say to me. I said, shut up, kid. Autobus? Can't autobus. It's a bus. Man, some of this thing sounds like it, amen. So, the whole crowning deal was this. Hey, Brother Shear, will you take this tire downtown and get a new inner tube for it? I said, no problem. They don't speak English down there. I stood in line, and those people cut in front of this gringo, just cut in front of me. And I'm looking, I said, hey, dude, I'm a big man. You're a little Dominican Republic man. And the next guy went, and I went like this. And he grinned at me like, hey, I wonder how long are you going to do that? Then I showed the guy, he said, and I went like this. I opened up my billfold. I gave it all tonight. It's all gone. Opened up my billfold, handed him, and he pulled out something. I don't know if he took the whole thing or not. It's wonderful to be around them and take your wife with you. I can't imagine what it was for my wife to come see Sherry. Sherry and my wife are best of friends for 20-some years. They miss that. Take your kids. We took some... Didn't I take you? Where'd you go? You went to Dominican. Republica Dominicana. Oh, my. Did you have fun?
Yes, sir.
Were you scared?
Driving, yes.
Yeah. Especially when the guy got ran over and everybody wanted to look at a dead person. But anyway. Hey, it's a different world. There's not a thing that says do not touch. You learn not to touch stuff. There's not safety rules that you can't ride like that. 800 kids riding on one jeepney, even. It's a great life. But you gotta pay your bills. You gotta pay your due. Won't be the family that says, well, I don't want my kids to go there because I'll never see my grandkids. Or you'll see them. You'll see them in heaven someday. And you'll rejoice that you are willing to say, hey, I want you to know. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. Father, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts. God, may we get a vision. Dear God, help us to be visionary. Help us to quit looking at ourselves and how important certain things are and look at the ways that people in this world live and have no hope. How shall they hear without a preacher? Dear God, please, I beg you tonight. I beg you, Lord God, that we would get so enthused about missions that we would forget certain things in our lives and we would just pray and say, dear God, call me, Lord God. Use me. Use my children. Lord, I give them to you today. I give my family to you today. Lord, that our lives would be changed, that we would pay our debt, and we'll hear from you, Lord, when we enter the kingdom. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord God, please, I beg you tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know what time it is. Good night. What I'm wondering tonight is there someone who say, you know what? I want a piece of that. I want to dream big. I want to extend my border in my life. I want to be called. I want to be used. You say, you don't know, I'm just a kid. Now, so is John the Baptist. So is Peter. Old cussing Peter. And God used him. Oh, shy John. And then there's the Sons of Thunder. God used everybody. He's looking for anybody. Why don't you give your life to God and say, you know what? I'm going to set my sights. I'm going to set my goals on things for God. Some of you parents got them little ones holding on to them tonight. Why don't you right there just dedicate him to the Lord and say, "Dear God, would you do something to this guy?" Hey. My mama, she is a farmer's wife. My daddy, good old farmer. Not rich, and houses or land. But they said, "Lord, if you can use him, you use him." I said, "Man, you got to be so smart. You got to go to school." Hey, when God calls you, he'll enable you. Do you think God's going to want you to be a failure? No, he doesn't. Here's a couple questions. Number one, are you saved? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Number two, you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. I need to do that." Number three, you say, "Preacher, we won't become members of this church." And number four, "Dear God, here's my life. I'm going to let it be. I'm going to let you have it. And all the things I've dreamed about and all the big ideas I have, I'm going to give that to you tonight. Because I owe a debt." Father, I pray you speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God speaks to your heart. You do what you want. You come. Let's all stand. God speaks to your heart and says, "Hey, here it is. Whatever, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for right there. Yeah. Some of you old guys, you didn't mount the hill of beans. These guys right here. Yeah. These little guys. That's where it's at. Some of you mom and daddy need to come up, put your arm around them. Say, "I want you to know, son, I'm behind anything you want to do."